Lord, we just come before you and we give you this time. We don't want to run church by a format, by a plan of ours, or bring any pressure to perform. So God, we just want you to be totally free. I just feel you changing directions, and I don't know where you want to go yet. So we're asking you, Lord. We're asking you specifically, what do you want to do right now? How can we release you right now? Talk me through a song, Nate. A song, I come into your presence with thanksgiving in my heart. What's past the gates of what? You know that one? Praise? I come into your presence with thanksgiving in my heart. Past the gates of praise. He has made me glad. That's it. That says everything I was just thinking when I was sitting there. I had a birthday last week, and I didn't want to have a birthday last week because we were short on money, and I said, you know, let's just put it off till January or February when, you know, we can think birthday. I've always hated that my birthday is mixed in Christmas. All your attention is going to Christmas. You know, so I just said, I don't want that. So I told the Lord, this is what I want on my birthday. Every time somebody says, happy birthday, I want to increase my happiness and just have a super happy day. So I did that all day long. I had so much fun being happy all day long, and God blessed that word all day. And I went grocery shopping, or I was stopped at Meijer's, and a lady in there I talked to a lot, she said, I would sing happy birthday, but I have a sore throat. And I said, no problem, I'll sing it to myself. You know, so I sang happy birthday to myself walking through Meijer's. And I just got happier and happier all day because I took the word happy as a gift. Every time somebody said happy, I received it like a gift. And God blessed it. And that song leads into gladness. But entering his gates with thanksgiving, that's the first step through the gates. And then his courts, we come a little closer with praise. And then it brings that gladness in your heart. And then we come into the intimate place of worship where he shows up. We just enjoy his presence. I wanted to talk about the shield of faith today. We started it last week and we talked about the shield that is built on the word of God, knowing that you know what he said and your faith is hanging on to what he spoke in his word to you. But this shield of love is built on who God is. Not what he said, but who he is. And that is a really thick, powerful shield. The love of God. The Bible says God is love. I don't know if I'm going to get into the notes. I didn't bring them over here yet. I don't know how far I'm going to go with that. I just want to share a little bit of what he's been doing on that subject with me. Kind of an introduction to it. I have known the love of God since the day I met him. Before I met God, I didn't know much about that word. I've never been a nature lover. I don't like to go outside. I had enemies. I had people in my life I hated. But the day I met him, I loved my enemies. I loved trees and flowers and birds. And love came to live in me. And I fell in love with everything and everyone. Now we can backslide. This is sign language. You're with God and you backslide. And the further we get from him, the less we feel that love. For us as humans, love is 99%. Emotion, what we feel. And there is a love of God that is based on affection and feeling that goes way beyond ours. When we get in the study, I'm going to bring some verses that will show you Old Testament. Sometimes they talked about love using one word like we do in America. I love my food. I love my dog. I love my wife. I love my son. We have one word for love. God has many words. Hebrew and Greek had many words for love. Most of you, if you've been in church long, you know about agape love. You know that Agape love is the highest form of love that goes way beyond what you feel into a blood covenant commitment of doing what is best for you, never failing you. Unreasonable love, over the top, outrageous, unconditional love that just does what no human would do. If you've seen God express himself in that love, you realize this shield is built on that kind of love. This shield God wants to be part of our armor is built with agape love. We don't have it. And as every other piece of that armor, it has to be God himself, pure God, released through us with outrageous love. That kind of love doesn't have limits. It breaks all the rules of fairness. Did anybody ever have God make you give away something that was completely unreasonable? Like a car? What? Give up your sleep? Yeah? Well, God, you said you give your beloved sleep. And then all of a sudden he's saying, I want you to stay up and pray all night or stay up with that baby all night. And yeah, it's a kind of love that sacrifices and gives over-the-top crazy things. When the Spirit of God moves in you to do something like that, your logic kicks in saying, no way, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to give that. I'm not going to do that. That's where we have the choice to release God, to do what only God will do. And that is what proves to people. They look at that and they say, God, that's got to be God. There's no way. I know that person. There's no way they would do that. So we're talking about this love that takes action beyond emotion. It's committed beyond emotion. It's a vow. It's a covenant. And he signed it in blood. That's why one reason he shed his blood. He made a covenant to rescue us, deliver us, save us, and love us. And he poured out his blood and signed it. So God has that kind of a committed love toward us. It's a pursuant love that doesn't give up. We understand a little bit if we have children. But I met love when I met God, and I began to grow in this love of God. It began to grow. As it began to grow, my experience of the presence of God in love grew to where when God would come and I would worship him, his expression of love would overwhelm me. It would change me. As we behold him, we are transformed and changed into that self-same image, glory by glory by glory. Each time we come into the very presence of who God is, it changes us. That's why we very slowly and carefully are going to build this shield of love. We can't rush through it. I don't know where each one of you live in that presence, in that love of God. I don't know. Some people I have met that have been saved for many years have no experience in the presence of God. They're living completely by a word faith. All their faith is based on what the Bible says, what they can read, what they have chose to believe is true, and they're walking in that faith. And that's good. God will honor it. But there is a faith that walks in the experience of his love, too, where you come in his presence. He touches you. He overwhelms you. He pours that love into your heart. And it's amazingly powerful to change you. If you have never encountered it, he wants you to encounter that kind of love. He wants you to taste and see how good the Lord is. You have to hunger for it. You have to want that. You have to want God. Some people experience that. I mean, I already know there are certain people that are so hungry to feel that love of God before you even touch them. I know they're just going to go, oh, melt, fall down, because they're so open and ready to let God love them. And they just receive. Janiah's one. Mirsada's one. She's already giggling. Paula's one. I know several people that are just totally unafraid of being overwhelmed. You touch them and immediately, oh, there's God. They don't resist him. They just take God in and they'll lay on the floor. And some of them, maybe 10 minutes. Some of them, do you know I used to do that every morning for 2 hours? about 2.5 or 3 years, every morning I started my day by laying in the presence of God for 2 straight hours. Not trying to pray, not trying to ask, not trying to read or understand. I just went, come and love me. Why? I needed so much. I needed so much to change in me. I needed so much healing. I needed so much from God. And I'm kind of lazy. So it was really easy for me to say, oh, I don't have to study. I don't have to work. I just lay there. You know it's hard to just lay there. Try to get a hyperspaz like him to lay there like this. That took practice, didn't it, Hunt? His head's moving. But for me, I'm a more laid-back person. So to just lay down in the presence of God and let him pour love on me, I loved it. I mean, that, love it. One day after a couple of years, I went to do that, and it was like he didn't show up. He told me to get up and start studying. I'm like, I don't want to. You know, I like this. But he had gotten me to a point where it was time to move forward and do things. Now, I still get those touches. I don't lay there 2 hours every morning. I try it, and he doesn't let me. There's seasons. There's times that that's what God is doing in you. You have to do what God is doing. You don't get to choose. You have to cooperate with what he's doing. God is getting ready to increase his love into you. Love is powerful. It's super powerful. It is what changes your heart and your mind. It is what makes you willing to live by faith, willing to accept the hard things coming. His love will change you. It will make you bold when you're scared. It'll make you talk when you're shy. It will put joy in your heart in the midst of terrible things that shouldn't be funny. Wherever you're at, if you've never experienced God's love pouring into you, he wants you to experience it. He wants you to start experiencing it. If you have experienced it to whatever degree, he wants to increase that. Now, I know we haven't got all he wants us to get because we aren't open and allowing him to flow to the extreme that he needs to flow in these last days. When Jesus said, you'll do greater works than I did, we haven't done them. And when he keeps saying, I'm going to do things you have never seen before, we haven't seen them. It's going to take us getting to a place where we're not inhibited, not scared, not fearful, not proud, not full of our own opinions, worldliness, pride, and for us to get to that place where we can release the full power of his love. It takes his love first inside of us to us. Something has to change. A couple of weeks ago, when I was worshiping, all of a sudden, there was an increase of this love of God. I cannot explain it. You would have to feel it. It's something that cannot be taught or explained. But I sat there in an increased outpouring of this agape love. And it changed something in me so drastically that all of a sudden I knew that I could live in a cardboard box and own nothing. I could die for the cause, or I could live for the cause, or everybody could reject me and leave me, and I could be totally alone. It took me to another level of this expression of God, this power of God has to be released. I began to try to practice something, and I haven't done well at it. I'm just beginning to learn it, and I'm just beginning to practice it. So I'm kind of trying to bring you into a mindset, a choice, a decision to join me in pursuing what God is wanting to do with this agape love. This is what happened in my mind. I decided that I want to get up every day with a decision right before my eyes, a willingness to be listening for what God wants to do that is unreasonable, outrageous, crazy love, and then agree to take whatever step it takes to release that. to allow him to do it. Now, how I messed up, first day out, I tried to do it. I just went out saying, I'm going to give beyond giving, do beyond doing every opportunity I find. I'm going to do it so God can flow through it. We can't do and let God bless. We have to obey what he's doing. So right off, I got a testing. I got a big testing by somebody who came in the resale shop with a multi-page list of family need that he wanted us to give. And I looked it all over and went, well, now there's something doesn't seem right to me on this list. There's way too many people to be one family. We have four adult men, four adult women, multiple kids, same age kids. I'm going, how many people could be in one family? You know, I think this is kind of a scam maybe, you know. This is really, and then I started reading what they wanted. And they listed specific expensive items, not just anything, but exact items they wanted. And I'm going, I'm seeing a lot of greed here, you know. And I'm thinking, this is not right. But because I'm going to give agape love today, I'm going to go fill this list and give every single thing that I can on this list. So I went and pursued doing that. And then when I got home, I said, God, did you want that list filled? And it's kind of like, after the fact, you're going to ask me? You did not ask me what I wanted to do. Wow, I didn't release God. I tried to be God. I tried to be agape love. I didn't ask him. See, it only releases when it is what he's doing. And I didn't ask him. Secondly, I kept having the thought, judge not the cause of the poor. And I went and looked up judge in that particular verse, and it said, do not question it. Don't debate with it. Don't try to figure it out. Do not take why they're asking for what they are, whether or not they're honest. It might not have been, and God might have said, no, I don't want to fill that list. But it's not my place to question it at all. It was my place to say, God, what do you want to do? And be willing to let him do it through me. Now, if he would have said, I want to fill the list, and I went to do it, then God had chose to bless this family. None of my business why they're poor or if they're lying to me. Because, see, God is good when we don't deserve it. That's agape love. He gives to us even when we don't deserve it. And that very love, accompanied by the Spirit of God, gets inside of a person, and they go home, and the Holy Spirit will say to them, you didn't deserve it, but God did it anyway. And they go, God, how can you be so good to me when I have been lying? How can you be so good to me when I've been disobedient? Why would you give me this when I didn't deserve it? The Spirit of God breathes these things into the people to use that love that he's touched them with to win them back to God. But if we're trying to do something, it's powerless. No matter how much you give, no matter how much you do, it's just good works, which are all filthy rags. So I backed up and said, okay, if I'm going to live with this decision before my face every day, I don't care what I have to give up, give away, or do. Whatever you want to do to let that love touch others, I say yes. But I do have to ask, is this what you want to do? Is this what you want to say? And then release God. So what happened with that one little experience of increased love? It transformed my heart and my mind to make a decision. And it took away more of my affection for things of this world. I used to say, you know, if I'm wearing a pair of earrings I just kind of like, and somebody would say, I like your earrings. Oh, you want them? I'll take them off and give them to you. Agape love says if I'm wearing my favorite earrings, and God says, give them. You take them off and give them. It doesn't have conditions. It's unconditional. Outrageous, over the top, unfair. It's way more than fair. And yet it sometimes says no. Because sometimes it is not the best thing for a person to give them. They may be asking amiss that they may consume it upon their lust. And God may say no. So when you get touched by an increase of God's love, wherever you're living, wherever you're at, it's going to take you to another level of releasing God to other people. It's going to take you to another level of loving God yourself, wanting more of Him. Not more than He can do, more of Him. See, this is built on the love of who God is, not what God does. We have a love. You know, I was amazed by this, and I am going to go through all the scriptures. I don't think I'm going to do them today. I just feel like just talking about it today, stirring you up to want it. And I'm hoping maybe He'll touch some people this morning, probably during or after worship. But I went through scriptures. Even David, a man after God's own heart, all through the Psalms, you'll see David say, because You delivered me, therefore I love You. Because of this, therefore I love You. Because You destroyed my enemy, therefore I love You. Oh Lord, it is time for You to work. Therefore I love You. A lot of things we love God for is what He does. What He does, what He gives. But He wants us to go to a love that is based only on who He is. A clinging, committed. He has asked us to love our neighbor. He's commanded us to love our neighbor. But He commanded us with what we could do, which was be socially kind. A love that says be socially kind and be gracious. He's asked us to love our neighbor with an affectionate love that He will give us as we take a step of obedience to feel love for them, because it'll be His love. But today He's asking us, will you move into the agape love? And we can, because agape love lives inside of us. If we will release Him, we can live and walk in agape love. That's His plan for us. And it is so fun. It is actually fun. A lot of my happy last week came because I was allowing more of His love, just to be a giving love, just to be a looking for ways and saying, God, what about this? And letting God's agape love, it blesses you more than the other person. It absolutely thrills you when you release God in any way. So I want you this morning to hunger. I want you to invite God. I want you to say, God, I say no to my pride. I do not want pride living in me. This social, American, dignified, social behavior, I need to look good, feel good, never be disrespected, or kick it out. God moves through the humble. Let's kick it out right now. God, right now, I choose that I do not want pride living in me, especially right this moment. I do not want pride. God, whatever I have seen or felt or known of Your love is not enough. I need more. I need more of Your love toward me. I need healing. God, we have people who need healing. So desperately they need their own healing. Lord, we want to live and walk in Your presence, in Your love, with a humility and a surrendered life and a decision that says, I will let You live through me and do anything You want to do. God, we just bind the judging and condemning and comparing. We don't want that in us this morning. Search us right now, Holy Spirit. Search us. Search our mind, our thoughts. Search our hearts. We rebuke greed. What do I have? What do I get? What about me? We rebuke fear. What will happen? What if? We don't want those things, God. We want to be cleansed, so that we can be filled with Your love this morning. Wherever we're at, we want a bigger dose of You. We want to see your glory like Moses saw your glory and more. Because even in his day, you did not do what you're going to do in our day. We want more than Moses, more than David, more than Paul, more of you released in us, to us, and through us. God, we want to be touched by you this morning. Lord, as we enter worship, we want to forget about ourselves, forget about our lives and our burdens and lay them all down. And we just want to come and love you and ask you to love us. Unrestricted. Unconditional, uncontrolled. Free us to love you and to receive your love this morning. In the name of Jesus.